I can do that all morning. How about you? Amen? Wow, thank you so much. All right. Open your Bibles with me to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And this morning, since this is 4th of July week, we have to get our message in about independence. So the question comes, are we dependent or are we independent? A lot of things have happened in the past 242 years since our independence from Great Britain. They left England because the king was endorsing a state church. And they wanted to be able to worship Christ without someone telling them how to do that. God's word proclaims how we are to worship him. And the government does not tell us how to do that. So, amen. The Declaration of Independence, July 2nd. Do you know the independence was signed on July 2nd? July 2nd, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. But that wasn't the final draft. So they had to revise that, and it took them 2 days. And so that's why on the official documents, 500 of them were created. Only 26 remain. And so on those 26 that remain, it says July 4th, 1776. And so that was when the final draft was submitted. So whether you celebrate July 2nd or July 4th, it still celebrates our independence. So I think that's irrelevant. So either way, on July 4th, 1826, do you know that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, two of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, signed, died on that day, 5 hours apart from each other? Two of the signing members in 1776, died on the same day, July 4th, the day we declare our independence. Anyway, just that's free. Anyway, the Declaration of Independence in part says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Even our Declaration of Independence states that our Creator has blessed this nation with the purpose of freedom to worship the Lord without persecution. And so the Northwest Ordinance of August 7th, 1789 says this in part. It says, religion, morality, and knowledge being essential to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall be forever encouraged. I think we've lost some of those values. And so, June 5th, 1790, the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Now, somebody stand and show me where it says separation of church and state. It's not in there. If we would teach our younger generation the truth of what our Constitution and Articles say, we would understand that there is no separation of church and state. Understand what it means that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It just means that the government will not tell the church how to worship Christ. Period. That's what it says. You have the freedom to do that as you wish. That's why we're autonomous here. We can do it however we see fit that God wants us to worship him. And so this once free land, home of the brave, was once independent, but now we are dependent on other people telling us what we can and can't do. We've accepted this so-called separation of church and state that's part of Amendment 1, and there's no provision for that. They knew religion, or godly principles, they were necessary for government. They knew that you could not rule sovereignly over people without having godly principles. And that's why they put that in there. And so while Article 1 does prohibit the federal government from establishing a state church, matter of fact, in its inception, individual states were free to have their own state church, and some of them did. Some of them had their own state church in the beginning. But what they began to do is they began to state tax them to support that individual church. And they found out it was against the Constitution and un-Christian-like. And so they stopped all state churches. So they became free again. We were so rooted in God, in the foundation of this once great republic. And I say republic, you do understand that America is a republic, right? It's not a democracy. See, there's levels of government. You start with anarchy, that you have no rules and regulations. We are a republic, which this country is governed by laws. We enforce those laws. A democracy is ruled by the people. Let me give you just a quick, brief scenario of this. 50 people see somebody stealing a horse, and 45 say, hey, we ought to spring that guy up by his Buster Browns. That's the majority rules. That's a democracy. Majority rules. So the majority says, let's hang this guy up. 5 people say, no, we shouldn't do that. That's not what this country is. This country says we are governed by laws, and laws talk about what to do with somebody who steals. So let's turn him over to the authorities and let the justice system work. That is what a republic is. Democracy says the majority rules. When you have a democracy and a majority rules, you go right into an oligarchy, which is a board-run country. And then right into a monarchy, which is a dictatorship. And that's not what we have here. We are a republic, not a democracy. And so we make our voice known, but we are governed and ruled by the established laws. That's why we need to defend those established laws. Let somebody change that, and then we have new rules and regulations. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists telling them that Article 1 was a separation of church and state, and that the state would never tell the church how to operate or what to speak on. However, we're one law away from no hate speech, which means that pastors here very shortly will not be able to preach on something that incites hate. And so we'll have to be careful. One day I won't be able to preach on homosexuality or lesbianism or LGBT, R9er, whatever all that stuff is, because it'll be wrong, because it will incite hate. Listen, don't shoot the messenger. I'm preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. You coming with me? We're going to jail. There you go. You come to jail, you get a sermon, because we can say whatever we want, because we're already in jail. All right. Somebody said so clearly that Jefferson understood the source of America's inalienable rights that he even doubted whether America could survive if we ever lost that knowledge. Matter of fact, Jefferson himself said, "The liberties of a nation that be thought secure if we have lost the only firm basis, and that is a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God." And he also said that they are not to be violated except with his wrath. And so, what is the result of Christians not standing up for our independence? Well, let's see. 1948, it became a violation of the Establishment Clause for Jewish, Catholic, or Protestant religious instruction in public school buildings. In 1962, the daily reciting of prayer in public schools is deemed unconstitutional. Daily school-directed reading of the Bible and daily reciting of the Lord's Prayer violated the Establishment Clause and therefore was unconstitutional. 1980, the court struck down a state law requiring public schools to post the Ten Commandments. I think it's funny, somebody said, the real reason that we can't have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse is that you can't post, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not lie in a building full of lawyers, judges, and politicians. It creates a hostile work environment. And so, but in 1985, a state law that was requiring a moment of meditation and voluntary prayer, that was struck down as an establishment of religion because they felt the intent was religious. 1992, a minister cannot offer prayer at a public school graduation. 2000, the court struck down a school district's policy that allowed an elected student to open a football game with public prayer. I think it's, can I use the word oxymoronic? An oxymoron? I think it's oxymoronic that we have taken prayer and God out of schools. But yet, in our justice system, when they go to jail, they're given a free Bible and encouraged to pray. Why? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Matter of fact, I wish the government would go back to the old judicial system of governing. The old judicial system was the purpose of punishing a wrongdoer. That's what God says. If you do wrong, you're to be punished, right? Our judicial system has gone from that to a rehabilitation type of system. No longer do we punish wrongdoers, but we say that people have disorders. Well, this guy's got a problem, and he needs help. He probably does need help. Don't get me wrong. But he also needs to be punished as a wrongdoer. That's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, I know a man who was caught stealing from his job. Big factory. Big multi-million dollar factory in Pennsylvania. And this guy for years, 20-some thousand dollars of equipment and stuff, he just walk out with it in his hands. And so one day they found out that he was stealing, and so they videotaped him. And they come out and they go, yes, we've caught him. Here he is. And he got out the gate and he was getting ready to get in his car. And they said, we've caught you. We know you've been stealing. We got you on video. Oh, man, we're going to stick it to you. And so they said, you are caught. You're stealing. And he dropped everything he had in his hand and he said, I have a stealing problem. The government said, you can't touch him. You can't fire him. And you will pay for him to go to a rehabilitative center so that he can get well. We have gone from a judicial type of governing system to a real rehabilitative type of system. We need to get back to, we've left good principles. We need to get back to where our country was founded on. We haven't elected good officials to rule over us. Matter of fact, listen to what 2 Samuel 23:3 says. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. I don't think we have too many mayors, state officials, government officials, too many people ruling in the fear of God. It's in the fear of the minority. And that's the majority voice today. Today, many of our schools have removed under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, if they do it at all. I think some schools still do it, but these things don't come without a price. There's a price to be paid. Let's look at our text this morning. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Hosea records, he says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. With bloodshed upon bloodshed, therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Let's open with a word of prayer. Tom Kraft, would you open us up with a word of prayer, please? Amen. Let me give you three things this morning about being dependent or independent. Number one, when there's no knowledge. Number one, when you have no knowledge. Look at verse 1 there. Verse 1a. Hosea writes, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. See, that's the problem today. Nobody hears God anymore. Nobody is listening to the word of the Lord. Instead of listening, people are complaining about what the problem is and who's to blame for it. And so we need to get back to the word of the Lord. Look at the second part of verse 1 there. 1b says, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. God's word is the source of truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, but our nation doesn't seek truth. There are absolutes, and people don't believe that. They think that there are not absolutes, and matter of fact, that's illogical, as Captain Spock would say from Star Trek. That's illogical, Captain. Because if you don't have absolutes, and somebody would say this, if somebody tells you that there is no absolute truth, ask them this question, are you absolutely sure? Because if they say yes, then that's an absolute, right? And what that becomes then is a self-defeating statement. It's called the law of non-contradiction. You can't contradict yourself. If you say that there are no absolutes and you're absolutely sure, then you have just stated an absolute. You've just contradicted yourself. It's also called the law of excluded middle. A line is either straight or it's crooked. There's no middle ground. It's either one of the two. But we have absolutes. We have absolute truth. And it's found in God's word. And so there is no truth in America anymore, nor is there knowledge of God. Now here's the question. Not because there's no knowledge of God, because there is. Look at Romans chapter 1. Oh, don't turn there. I've got it. Romans 1, 19 and 20. Paul says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you understand? God has put himself in every person that was ever born. Every person that was ever born, whether they're a tribe in Africa, whether they're in Russia, whether they're in China, or you're, you know, Tom Hanks on a deserted island, it does not matter. God has put himself in every person. We know that there is a supreme being out there, and he has put it in us, and we are without excuse. It's not that we don't have knowledge of God. So when there's no knowledge or no truth of God throughout the land, then that comes to number two. It affects everything. When you lose that knowledge of God, it affects everything. Look at verse 2 and 3. Hosea says, by swearing and lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. When the Bible talks about swearing, it talks about making an oath. I mean, it's like when you go into the military, you're sworn in. You're sworn in. It's not swear like cussing and so forth like that. You're making an oath. Can I tell you something? There's not too many people that keep their oaths today. People make verbal commitments and they don't keep them. Matter of fact, even when it comes to marriage, divorce is running rampant in our country, as well as other countries. And it's even creeping into the church. And so, contracts. Do you know what? You can sign any contract you want. And as long as you have a better lawyer, you can get out of that contract. Those cases are seen time and time again. And lying? Man, lying is just average, everyday, ordinary, the thing to do. Stealing. People are stealing from their parents. People are stealing from their kids. People are just stealing in general. You know what? They shouldn't be charging that. That's too much. I'm just going to take it. I don't feel like paying for it. It's amazing. And adultery, that's just running rampant. What does the Bible say? It's without restraint. Well, let me ask you the question. What is the restraint? What is that restraint? It's the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Commandments. Listen, this is amazing. The Ten Commandments, they're trying to get rid of that because that's what holds them back. The commandments show them that they're what? Wrongdoers. That they've broken the law. You take the Ten Commandments out, you make those irrelevant, then there's no more absolute truth. Because now you're not a wrongdoer. Now you're just a sick person, you need help. When they have broken all restraint, that's what you have, is bloodshed upon bloodshed. And then it talks about in verse 3, how the land, beasts, birds, and the fish will be taken away. That's an amazing thing to look at. Matter of fact, J. Vernon McGee said, suddenly we have found in this country that we are polluting everything around us. He said when he was a little boy in southern Oklahoma, he used to go swimming in this Phillips Creek. And he said the water was so clear that you could see clear down to the bottom 25 feet. He said, today, said it stinks to high heaven. He said we polluted the land, and the land is now mourning today. Because of man's sin, even lower creations are being affected by everything around us. How many of you love fish? Hope you don't eat it too much. Some of that fish is full of mercury. And so you're not supposed to eat certain fish because they've been tainted by man's pollution. Here's one, plastics. Did you know that sea creatures are dying every day because of plastic? According to One Green Planet, they reported this. As many as 50% of sea turtles are ingesting plastic at an unprecedented rate and dying because of it. There's a little turtle there. All he wanted was a drink, and he got the six-pack instead. And it affected him. And then, of course, the one to the right there is an albatross. And it says that, shockingly, an estimated 98% of all the albatross that they studied, they found that they had ingested some kind of plastic debris. Only the plastics that had been ingested, it caused an obstruction in their digestive tract, and it punctured their internal organs, and they died. A number of studies show that the fish people continue to consume outside of mercury, now they're finding that at one time or another, they had ingested some type of plastic or plastic microfibers. And then the bottom right, numerous whales and dolphins are being affected by plastic as well. Of course, this was an activist group. They made this big whale out of plastics, threw it on the beach to make their point. So that's not a real whale puking up a bunch of plastic stuff. That was fabricated, but I think you get the point. Because when there's no knowledge, when God is not a factor, everything around us is affected. Because there's no restraint. There's nothing telling people that they're wrongdoers. People and the environment and everything are affected. And it raises the question, why? Why does that happen? Look at verse 6. Because Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. You know, the Bible makes it clear that we don't live by gimmicks and methods, but we live by a personal knowledge of the Word of God, which tells us who God is. This is the reason why me and Matt preach and we teach and we proclaim God's Word until we're thrown in jail or God comes back to get us. But we do that because this is the truth. And people are being destroyed daily for lack of knowledge. What is it about knowledge that's so useful as opposed to somebody's belief or opinions or preferences? Knowledge allows you to successfully go through life about your soul, about your brain, about your car. Knowledge is effective for everything that you do in life. It's important to note the structure of the verse here, what it says, rejected knowledge. It's parallel to forgotten the law. That's the same thing there. And that fits the context of the opening verse here that Hosea says in verse 1. Listen, the people did not simply lack knowledge, they rejected it. And that's the same with America. America does not lack the knowledge of Christ, they simply reject him. We need to proclaim all the counsel of God, the truth to every generation. Listen, lest one day we have no freedom in America to do that very thing. I've said it before, I'll say it now, and I'll probably say it again in the future. Ronald Reagan once said this, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." We didn't pass it on in the bloodstream. It must be fought for. It must be protected, and it must be handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like in America when men were free. I'm about to show you a video of Red Skelton. Somebody already posted this on Facebook and stole my thunder, but I'm doing it anyway. It was on his TV show in 1969, and he did the Pledge of Allegiance. And he explained every word. And let me ask you this question. Does anybody know, and it was just very soon ago. Soon ago, is that a word? No, it is now. That's in the Zedeker dictionary, but anyway. Wasn't too long ago. Is that better? It wasn't too long ago that the states of Hawaii and Alaska were made part of the United States. Do you know that? That was less than 60 years ago. You young people know that? In 1959, January and June, Alaska was the 49th state and Hawaii was the 50th. Alaska was in January and Hawaii was in June. 1959, Dwight D. Eisenhower proclaimed that Hawaii and Alaska would be the 49th and 50th state. Do you know that we purchased Alaska from Russia in 1860 for $7.2 million? That's like a drop in the bucket today, but in 1860, that's probably a lot of money. Man, but that's our history. Hawaii was already established as its own country. It had its own organization. It had a monarchy. Some woman ruled over them. We just kind of took them over. I mean, look your history up. That's what has probably why they hate us so much. But in 1941, December 7th, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, they realized how great Hawaii was for us as far as our location for other nations, especially putting military bases and so forth. So in 1959, Hawaii and Alaska became states of the United States. And so, watch this, Red Skelton, our Pledge of Allegiance. Don't stand when he does the pledge, but just know the words, and hopefully it'll give you a little more meaning. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
As I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect.
Amen.
Because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country. And two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
I think some of the folks years ago got it. They understood what it meant to protect freedom. In a nation where information is so readily available to us. I mean, we have information at our fingertips, on our phones, with us everywhere we go. But nonetheless, we have some of the dumbest folks ever. Edmund Burke said this, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." What you don't know can hurt you. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 says this, "First, God help me never to tell a lie. Second, God give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I go rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' And if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name." Listen, are we dependent on God or independent? Not just as a nation, but individually. Let me ask you a question. With the cell phones that we have, that everybody has, and the iPads and the tablets and the laptops and the MacBooks and the cars and the spare vehicles and the extra vehicles and the vacation time and the campers and the trailers and the quads and the boats and the all these fancy, wonderful, fantastic stuff. Can I ask you a question? What do you need God for? Are you dependent on God every day? Or do you live independent of Him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time today. Thank you for your word. You warned Israel, who should be our example. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that these things are written for our examples. We need to understand and know and remember what you tell your people. And so, God, we just pray that we can continue to honor and glorify you by preaching the truth. We know your people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But, Lord, we don't want it to be because we're not teaching the truth. We're not giving them knowledge. We know, Lord, we'll have to stand and give an account at a much stricter judgment. But if we give you the truth to all the folks, Lord, it's up to them with what they do with it. But I pray, God, that your word would prick their hearts and minds and encourage them to get up and begin to know the truth. It's so readily available and around us. And so, Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. So we commit this time of invitation to you, and we pray, God, have your way. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.